Radio.
The mission of the Catholic School. An address by Archbishop Julian Porteous at the 2016 Tasmanian Catholic Education Conference.
It's important that in any profession there is an opportunity offered to engage with one's peers in a conference setting. The conference offers a means by which we can, if you like, stand back a little from the immediate concerns of our work and activities and take a more global view of what we are doing and what is the purpose and direction to our work in Catholic education. It's a way which we will receive input that will stimulate our reflection, and that reflection will enable us to look at what we do and find ways which we can do things better. Of course, it's also very valuable for us simply to be with our peers and to engage in fruitful conversation. This year, as this conference is being held, I'd like to offer some thoughts as the conference begins, just on the overall mission of Catholic education. Many of you may be aware of the fact that the Melbourne Archdiocese has invested a great deal of effort into examining the Catholicity of its schools. It has drawn upon research models developed at the Catholic University of Leuven in Belgium. And the study has actually been a five-year project. It's involved detailed empirical research and has provided some very valuable insights into the state of Catholic education. The researchers attempted to map the shift that has occurred in the religious identity of our schools. Our schools began as, and for more than a century, were very effective, if you like, confessional schools, holding to and presenting the Catholic faith. The whole atmosphere of the school was very demonstratively Catholic in all aspects of its life. But now in this year, 2016, you know, we realise that our schools have become in various ways more secularised, de-traditionalised, if you like, and to a certain extent, and maybe this will happen increasingly, more pluralised. Catholic culture is no longer the prevailing influence in the schools that it once was. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we respond to this challenge? Particularly, how can we ensure that we preserve the Catholic identity of our schools? This will be one of the great challenges we face as we move forward in Catholic education. The studies conducted in Victoria reveal that the emphasis in our schools in recent years has been particularly upon focusing on values education, drawing on gospel values, Christian values. And it's led staff and students to embrace a broad and widely accepted set of values, which in fact may or may not be specifically Christian. And so we often hear, don't we, in our schools are meant to be inclusive. Or we emphasise the value of being a welcoming community. And of course, schools will speak a lot about promoting diversity. Of course, students are encouraged to develop certain values, certain attitudes. So they're encouraged to be, for instance, respectful. And often you see in primary schools, students are encouraged to do their best. Now, these values, of course, are good, but they're not necessarily Christian. Thus, our schools produce students with many, many good attitudes, and these attitudes can make them good citizens. But in the process, is faith being drained out of the value system of our schools? And we could run the risk of our schools becoming largely secularized. Now, secularized institutions with high standards, but secularised nonetheless. It's very interesting from the research done in Victoria that parents and people in key leadership roles in education clearly reveal that they want the school to be Catholic and they want it to strongly embrace its Catholic identity. They sense, I believe, that the high quality of schooling is in some way related to its Catholic identity. they may not be able to articulate this specifically, and even many parents may not be particularly religious themselves. But they want what Catholicism can offer to their sons and daughters. Generally, nobody, except the research reveals senior school students, want a school to become simply a good secular school. However, it's also true that many parents are shy about the school becoming too Catholic, too explicitly expressive of Catholicism. So they want Catholicism, but if you like, they don't want to be too Catholic. Reminds me of an Italian mother who spoke to me about her son who would have become involved in a particular Catholic youth community that I'd developed in one of my parishes. This young fellow had gone through somewhat of a conversion and was not only regularly participating in the activities of the youth community, but started going to regular mass during the week and also developing a serious prayer life. And I remember the mother coming up to me at one stage, speaking to me about the change that she had witnessed in her son. And she said, "I wanted my son to be Catholic, but not fanatic." So I think that can sometimes capture what people want. They want something of Catholicism, but they don't want it to be too strong. However, we can be tempted to, in the face of people not wanting it to be too Catholic, to move too far in the other direction and find ourselves becoming more and more secular. I'd like to speak about a notion of integral education. And to do this, we need to look at our teaching in our schools against the backdrop of the changed cultural circumstances in which we find ourselves today. Because the Catholic educational project is about the formation of the whole person. And this was a word that's been used in many Catholic documents speaking about Catholic education. And so in a document released in the year 2000, the Catholic school was described as, and I quote, "a place of integral education of the human person through a clear educational project of which Christ is the foundation." Thus, it proposes that Catholic education should be integral, engage the whole person, but the foundation to this process is the person of Christ. So Catholic education cannot allow itself to become fragmented into separate, mutually exclusive departments. There is always meant to be a coordinating principle. The principle is, of course, the faith. It is that faith which inspired the foundation of the school. And all involved with the school, the leadership, teachers, clergy, parents, there is a recognition that it is vital to have this organisational principle, if you like, to enable everybody to be working together in unity for a common goal. Pope Benedict, in his visit to England in 2010, addressed students at St. Mary's University College in Twickenham. He said this, and I think it's very worth listening to. He said this to the students: "As you move higher up in school, you have to make choices regarding the subjects you study. You begin to specialise with a view to what you are going to do later on in life. And that is right and proper. But always remember that every subject you study is part of a bigger picture. Never allow yourselves to become narrow. The world needs good scientists, but a scientific outlook becomes dangerously narrow if it ignores the religious or ethical dimensions of life, just as religion itself becomes narrow if it rejects the legitimate contribution of science to our understanding of the world. We need good historians," he says, "and philosophers and economists. But if the account that they give of human life within their own particular field is too narrowly focused, they can lead us seriously astray. A good school provides rounded education for the whole person. And he adds this final comment, and a good Catholic school, over and above this, should work to help all its students become saints. In Catholic education, we are aware that our work is to encompass all aspects of the human person. We do not see our work as just isolated to some dimensions of the lives of the students, not just academic, or imparting certain skills or encouraging sporting achievements. We are conscious of the whole person. Indeed, it's been this that has marked out our Catholic schools as offering this something extra, what I often like to call the X factor. There's something additional that we bring to our educational project that marks our schools as distinctive. So here we enter into the realm of the Christian understanding of the nature of the human person. And in this we can identify certain key elements. We readily recognise the physical and intellectual aspects of our students. We are aware of their emerging character influenced by their emotional and psychic life. We acknowledge also that each student has a spiritual dimension to their life. They have a soul. The Catholic school seeks to develop each student's knowledge, character, faith and spirit to assist them becoming fully formed Christian men and women. Let's just very briefly consider some of these areas of formation that we're involved in as in our schools. Intellectual formation, of course, will always be at the heart of the educational enterprise. That formation, though, should not be, as Pope Benedict mentioned, a source of separating faith from reason. The Catholic Church, in its intellectual tradition, has always sought the integration of them both. And religion in the Catholic school should not be isolated just to the religious instruction classes. It should permeate all disciplines. The horizons of the minds of the students are to be open to the vastness of the work of God in creation. In history and in literature, the spiritual quest of humanity can be acknowledged and explored. Religion, in the end, is about the deepest questions in human life, its purpose, its underlying motivations, its final destiny. As students advance in secondary education, these issues do preoccupy them. Often they will challenge, but this is their way of searching. In a Catholic school, we can offer insights into the Catholic faith and our Catholic heritage. We can invite them to explore not just matters of social justice, but to explore more the realm of ethics in human action. The great themes of art and literature can open up these areas to them. The second area I'd like to mention is formation in character. Formation in character has been something that Catholic schools have always sought to do. We strive to form young men and women of sound character. We are aware that this is the area for our distinctive contribution as a Catholic school, because our schools are founded on a specific vision of life revealed by Christ. We are called to a discipleship that shapes the whole pattern of our thinking and acting. And there is a depth and a wisdom to the Christian tradition. To reduce character formation to a few broad and generally shallow social virtues, like inclusiveness or welcome, is to rob them of what the Christian life really has to offer. It does not prepare them to resist the prevailing culture whose life and view of life is often narcissistic and nihilistic. We need to move from a focus on general secular values to a presentation of Christian virtue. The Christian life is a life of inner discipline, and it includes the pursuit of virtue. Character allows students to master themselves so that they can be faithful to their personal convictions. Character formation involves assisting students to grow in virtue that is reflected then in a certain self-confidence and in leadership. In other words, we're preparing them not only to be good citizens, but I would propose to you what we can do best is to prepare them to be good mothers and good fathers, capable of nurturing the next generation. Another area, of course, that I've mentioned already is the area of spiritual formation. See, every single human being has a spiritual dimension to their life. Spiritual formation aims to help students find this particular spiritual dimension through their relationship with God. It is particularly aimed at enabling each student to come into a personal and intimate relationship with God. And that relationship will be founded in their relationship, their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ becomes then the ultimate focus for all the students' choices and actions. The student's intellectual and character growth comes to perfection through God's grace and through the student's spiritual efforts. Thus, graduates from our Catholic schools are active participants in the sacramental life of the Church. So, as I said, this notion of integral education is founded upon a Christian understanding of the human person. At the heart of this is the fact that every person has a soul, a human soul, an immortal soul. The source of this understanding is the revelation that we were created in the image and likeness of God. This is a most significant truth. In other words, something of the nature of God himself lives in us. And this is in our soul. And this is what differentiates us as human beings from the rest of creation. Integral education then acknowledges the soul as a point of integration for the human person. And the soul orients the human person towards God and towards eternity. Simply put, our task in integral Catholic education is to foster the life of the soul, the life of the soul as the animating principle for human life. So how can this be achieved? And of course, the answer lies in what is at the heart of our Catholic faith. Our Catholic faith is more than just an ethical view of life. It's more than just a philosophical outlook. It's more than ritualized actions. And it is more than a collection of creedal beliefs. All these, of course, are elements of the faith. Christian faith is essentially about a relationship. It's about a personal relationship. And that relationship is with God, but in Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, who is a revelation of the Father, who is the Saviour of the world, who is the Lord of history. And as Jesus says in St. John's Gospel, abide in me. And that captures very simply a truth about being Christian. Abiding in Christ. Knowing him, building a relationship with him, engaging one's life with him, abiding in Christ. The Vatican document, Gaudium et Spes, makes a very good point when it says, the truth is that only in the mystery of the incarnate word does the mystery of man take on light. For Adam, the first man, was a figure of him who was to come, namely Christ the Lord, the final Adam. And by the revelation of the mystery of the Father and his love, fully reveals man to man himself and makes his supreme calling clear. In other words, only in Christ can we be revealed in our true selves to each of us. The truth may not be immediately evident. We all seek some point of integration for our lives, and we naturally look inwardly for this point of integration. So we search our experiences, We look for insights, but there is one place where a final answer can be found. As we engage our whole selves with Jesus Christ, we come to a point of final and full personal integration. This, I believe, is what we as Catholic educators finally have to present and offer to our students. If I may, in drawing these thoughts to a conclusion, mention two areas that I think are of critical importance in this area currently, in this area of integral Catholic education. The first area involves the centrality of seeing our schools as having an evangelizing mission. It has been mentioned often in church teaching about the mission of our schools that we are not only to present a coherent presentation of the faith over the years of Catholic education, but we are to enable our students to actually encounter Christ. We've made significant steps forward, I think, in recent years in providing a better quality of systematic presentation of the Catholic faith to our students. And I commend you in those efforts of improving the quality of what we offer. But I think all of us would have to admit that achieving the goal of bringing students to a personal encounter with Christ still eludes us. And so there always is for us a challenge as to how we can actually achieve this. We need to be able to offer our students the opportunity of a real and personal encounter with Christ. In the end, this is a whole purpose to our schools. And this will remain always a task for us to find effective ways in which we can achieve this goal. So the evangelizing mission of our schools always is there as something that we need to continually reflect upon and find better ways to achieve. The second area I think it's important to mention to you is in the current climate in our society, I think we need to give greater attention in our schools, in our general education, and more specifically through what we present in our schools. And that is to look at issues related to life, to marriage, and to family. You know, Christian faith teaches us that life is a gift from God, and that every person has an entitlement to life from the moment of conception to life's natural end. It's important that our students receive a sound education and sound understanding of the sacredness of every human life. So to this end, we need to speak to them about subjects like abortion and euthanasia. We need to address the issue of contraception, and we need to find ways to present an understanding to our students that we need to recognize the natural processes of nature that lead a person to their final stages of human life, entering into the process of death, which is ultimately a passage to coming into union with God. With so many pressures on young people today in the whole area of sexuality, from pornography to issues now related to gender identity, we as Catholic educators have a duty to assist them in coming to discover the nobility and the beauty of human sexuality. We can help them see that the vision for marriage and family is in fact a path to finding true happiness in life. So this area of life, marriage and family need to become more central in our educational endeavour, given the climate in our times. As we all know and constantly experience, our mission as educators calls on us to grow as persons. In a Catholic school, it calls us forth in our own personal faith. There is nothing like having to teach as being the means by which we learn. And thus it is with the religious formation of our students. Helping them grow in Christ inspires us to grow in Christ. This is a special grace that can be given to us in Catholic education. Entrusted by the Church with the formation of young people, We are all called upon to grow in our faith, in our own personal faith, that we might hand this on effectively to our students. So I encourage you all to continue on your own personal journey to seek Christ, then that you may be able to more effectively bring Christ to your students. I'd like to finish these words with a quote from the 1977 document entitled The Catholic School. It says, "The Catholic School is committed thus to the development of the whole person, since in Christ, the perfect man, all human values find their fulfillment and their unity. Therein lies the specifically Catholic character of the school. Its duty to cultivate human values in their own legitimate right, in accordance with its particular mission to serve all people, has its origin in the figure of Christ. He is the one who ennobles the human person, gives meaning to human life, and is the model which the Catholic school offers to its pupils." Thank you.
That was a talk by Archbishop Julian Porteous entitled The Mission of the Catholic School. This talk was recorded by the Archdiocese of Hobart. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.